Your Bible, if you would, and turn there, and I'll get ready and get my clicker out. I'm all set here. I'm going to read the first few verses of Acts chapter 1. And I've got some folks coming in. Yeah. If you're here this morning and you're visiting and you didn't get one of those little cards that says welcome and where you can put your information, they're in the back, and ask someone or grab one on your way out. If you do that, I will deliver a new car to your house this next week. No, you'll get a nice note from the pastor this week and thanking you for joining us. And so we're glad that you're here. Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read that scripture. You know, I had you sat down, but I'd like you to stand up again as we read the Word of God. We're just going to read the first probably 11 verses, maybe 12. But as we stand together, I will read. And you know what? Let me get a little preface here. This is written by Luke, of course, and he says in the first book, the Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles who he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed for this, for his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Let's read verse 12. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. What a wonderful passage the Lord has given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for being here with us and teaching us. And Lord, allow our hearts to be moldable so that we can take what you have given and apply it to our hearts. And so our lives will show Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this in his wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We have been doing what we call the divine to-do list. Those things that Jesus had to do before he went to his Father. And they knew it. The disciples knew that. They just were like us. Sometimes we know something, but we really don't want to believe it. Sometimes we hear something, so, yeah, but I really don't. Those of you probably that were involved in any kind of a concert, a football, some kind of sport event, if you were a participant, you never wanted it to end. You know, if you say, oh, is this the last song we're going to sing or play? Is that right? Is there only 2 minutes left in this game? Are we in the ninth inning? I wanted to tell you that so you could get an idea of where the disciples were in their thought pattern. Because we don't know exactly, but to get into their mind a little bit, they didn't like it. They didn't like what was going to be happening. And so as we look at these verses, and we're going to go through them and do, you know, just kind of closely look. The first thing we see is what? We see in verse 3, where the writer tells us, in verse 3, he presented himself after them, after his suffering. You know, we want to see here that there is a non-negotiable proof given that Christ arose. Non-negotiable. Nobody can argue with it, and people do. And those non-negotiable things that we have in our life are sometimes hard to deal with. And sometimes we just really love them. Think of some things in your life that are non-negotiable. Ones that you really love. Butter pecan ice cream. Non-negotiable for me. My favorite. You could put every kind of ice cream in front of me and there was butter pecan. 10 seconds in the microwave just to make it plowable. And just sit and slurp it down. Non-negotiable. You know? The speed limit on the Highway 20 going to Rockford. Guess what? It's negotiable. I have gone 68 miles an hour on that, and nobody, and the police were sitting there, and I waved hi to them, and they said, hi, Arch, and I went past. Well, you know, there's some police officers that have, it isn't negotiable. Well, what we're saying all this for is just to let you know that when this is being written, and Luke says, you know what, guys? These things, there's no wavering. If anybody comes to you and say, you know, Jesus didn't really raise from the dead. He wasn't dead. He said, these are non-negotiable. And the fact that he did come to his disciples, show his hands, show his feet, his side, we know. We know. They made it up. They thought it was a good story. They wouldn't die for a good story. They wouldn't suffer martyrdom because it was kind of a neat thing to be a follower of Jesus. They were martyred, they were persecuted because of the truth of Christ's resurrection. And ladies and gentlemen, oh, look at that. He stood before them. And remember the time Thomas wasn't there. We remember that story. And said, guys, I'm here. Later on, Thomas said, oh, he wasn't there, you guys. He was there. Jesus came. You know the story. Jesus said, come on, Thomas, put your finger in there. Come on, in my side. Undisputable. No negotiation. If you're sitting at a coffee shop or with a relative or a friend or at the workplace and somebody sits down beside you and maybe you're having your devotions and what are you doing? I'm reading the Word of God. You believe it? Yeah, I do. Why? It's non-negotiable. What? It's non-negotiable. And then you could tell them why. Let's go on. Because we're going to have communion at the end of today, so we're not going to... All right, here we are. Jesus is preparing his disciples. For what? For the ministry. To go out, to do what he said in Matthew 28, to go into all the world. And he's going to say it again. We're going to read it again here. And as he's saying this, we see these words. Lord, is it the time for you to restore your kingdom? As after he'd ordered them to go into Jerusalem. And so they're saying, well, Lord, is this the time? We know that you're coming. You've come. We know there's a Messiah that's coming. Is this the time? Now, they weren't off base, were they? Mark 1:15 says this. And saying, this is Jesus, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus, beginning his ministry, says what? This is it. Guys, the kingdom has begun. And he's telling his disciples, you're living in it. It's not at its completion yet, and it's going to be a glorious completion. But you are the kingdom of heaven. Well, Pastor, no, that's when the new heaven and the new earth come down, and after the 1,000 years. Oh, Lord, Pastor, there's so much the Lord is to do. What did you say? He says, no, he says, repent now and be saved. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We should be living as the disciples did, as if they were in the kingdom. Why? Because we serve the king. If we didn't serve the king, we wouldn't have to be in the kingdom. We could just be whoever we wanted to be wherever we wanted to be, and do whatever we wanted to do. When they came to Peter during his ministry and they brought him in and they took him to trial. And he said, well, no, don't, you can crucify me, but do it upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord was crucified. Why did he say that? Why didn't he say, hey, guys, it's okay. I'm not going to preach that stuff anymore. I told you, yeah, okay, you can let me go now. Yeah, I'm going to go back to fishing again. Of course he did. Why? Because he was in that pot, working in the, for the king. Last week we had that the verse where Jesus told, you know, the, told the Mary to go tell the disciples he was with God and they were with him. So they we were all part of that family. And so as we have this kingdom of God is beginning in my understanding of the scriptures way back in Mark. And now Jesus is telling them, they're saying, well, when is the kingdom? When are you going to set up your throne? He said, oh, not now. Not yet. Well, when is the time? Let us know the time. All of us that are parents have heard that, haven't we? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, and you start a little 2-mile trip and you're half mile down the road, you turn around. No, you don't turn around and slap anyone. Don't ever do that. Your mother may have done that to you. My mother did. My mother had the longest arms in the world. She taught me about time travel. She said, if you don't settle down, I'm going to knock you into tomorrow. You know, I was, you know, but, you know, we are traveling, you know, and we're in going as we're working toward the in the kingdom. Let me read something to you here as we go on. Okay, when they'd come together, he said, when will the kingdom come? He said, you know, you don't know. He said, it's what? It's of my Father to fix it with his what? Authority. He's the king. God has all authority, what? On heaven and on earth. We read that many times through the scripture. And sometimes we do what? We doubt him. We question him. You know, and it's maybe in our prayer life and something's happening we don't like. And, you know, there's a diagnosis comes. You go to see the doctor and you receive a diagnosis you don't like. You say, Lord, you know, what's wrong? Why me? How many of us have done that? Why me, Lord? And he says, because it's within my authority. When you see someone that you've been talking to, you've been witnessing to, and you see them, maybe you see them pass into eternity before they have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. And you say, Lord, what's going on? I did what I was supposed to do. What? It's within my authority, he says. Hard to understand sometimes the authority of God. Because we like power. Oh, man, do I love power. Oh, when I played sports or when I was in, you know, I had to sit first chair in the orchestra and I had to, because what? I wanted power. And it was silly as I look back on those days, you know, and I remember walking on campus. I'd been at Moody and I went to another school and I walked on campus and I was doing some things and somebody came up to me and they said, would you run for student body president? Oh, man, would I? You know, you betcha, you know, I didn't. You know, I like the power. And the disciples were the same as we are. You know, sometimes you say they ask these questions out of ignorance, out of being timid. No, they didn't. They wanted to know, what's in it for me? Where am I? Remember when the disciples were saying, who's going to have the greatest place in the by you, Lord? Who's going to be on your right and who's going to be on your left? We do it. Maybe we don't do it so overtly, but I think sometimes our prayer life is like that. Lord, hear me. I'm your servant, and so you're going to do this for me. Not my will, but thy will be done, as Christ prayed. And so Jesus tells them, said, the kingdom's coming. You know, the kingdom is. We're going to, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen as God in his authority has it happen. So then he says this. Oh, worried about the kingdom, are you? Let me tell you something. You will receive power. They did not understand this when they heard this. I know they didn't. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, power is cool. We like power, don't we? Those of us of a certain age love the sound of that engine. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, 428 Hemi. You know, some of you had that car. You know, oh, power. You know, and some of you ladies, remember when the automatic dishwasher came out? Oh, what power. Watch this. See this dirty dish? Here's what my wife did. I'll wash it off, and then I'll put it in the dishwasher, and it'll come out clean. It was already clean when she put it in. It really was. Honest. This is a true story. But power to do dishes. Hey. Friend of mine got a bike, had a gas motor assist to it. He said, man, I've got power now. I can go up in the hills, you know. We love power. So when Jesus said this to his disciples, hey guys, I don't know when God's going to decide to do what he wants to do, but let me tell you something. You are going to receive power. I don't think he shouted either. I think he was talking in the wonderful tone that I imagine Jesus in my mind. You're going to have power. When what? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Remember in John, where we read where he promised them that they were going to have a comforter, a teacher. Oh, that's the verse I was just reading to you. Not understanding this, they obeyed. See, today we're going to be talking a lot about trusting God and then obeying God. Remember the story? I know that most of you know it. The world famous tightrope walker put a rope to walk across the Niagara Falls. And he did it. He got a bar and he walked across the Niagara Falls and everybody, it's wonderful. It was on TV, you know, and I think we had black and white TV at our house. I saw that. And then he said this. He said, come on, somebody get on my back and I will take you across. How many people volunteered? Absolutely no one. Why? They didn't trust. They didn't trust. You know, they saw it happen, but they didn't trust, so then they didn't do it. Or they didn't, you know, we have seen through the scripture so many wonderful things. And we say we trust God, but we don't take those steps of faith. We don't walk out as God would have us walk out. You see, Jesus had told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was one of the most dangerous places in the world at that time. The upheaval that was going on and what they had just done to Christ and just a short 40 days before that, and they were looking for the disciples. They didn't. They stayed in Jerusalem. They obeyed. Just for a moment, think of those times where Christ has told you to do something just through the scripture or through meditation and prayer, and you've felt God say, do this, do that, and do something, and you said, oh, boy, I think God can get me through that, but I'm just not going to do it. Or the time when you felt that and you did it. And the joy, we talked about the joy of Jesus last week and the joy that came into your life. Sandy and I were not in a very high point in our life when God showed us Kings Valley Ranch. I'd always wanted to be a camp director. I said, Lord, please let me be a camp director. But he didn't ask me to be one. I wasn't ready to serve him there. But when he called us and we obeyed, trusted him, and then we obeyed him. We had the most wonderful time. I've got pictures of Sandy on her favorite horse up on the hills. We were in the southeast part of Ohio where the Appalachian Mountains begin. And she's up on fall colors all around her. Oh, what a joyful time of serving Jesus. Oh, we were faithful and we served. And what joy. There's been other times in my life when God's called me and I've said, no, I'm going to do this. and the joy was never there while I was not obeying, trusting and obeying. Let's go on. Then Jesus says this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Isn't this cool? You know what Jesus just did here to his disciples? He took away boundaries. He said, you guys have no boundaries in where you can tell folks about Jesus. You know, there are pastors that say, so he told them first to start here. He didn't say that. He doesn't say, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the world. You can go, there's no boundaries, guys. Go wherever the Spirit leads you. Oh, no, don't tell me that, Pastor. The Lord's been leading me to do this, and I want to be here. My grandkids are here. My favorite doctor's here. And if God would call me to do this or to do that, I don't know if I could do that. God doesn't have boundaries on us, does he? There's no one we can't witness to. There's no place that we can't go to be a witness for him, you know, in this world. And it gets me just like really, really excited because, you know, there's some verses in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 2:1 or Isaiah 2:2. Oh, I don't remember. But look it up later, Isaiah 2, verse 1 or 2. And it talks about all the world coming to Zion. Why? Because of us. Because the world knew about him. You know, in that prophetic word about this is what's going to happen to the mountaintop of Zion. People from every nation will come. Why? Because you gave money to help the missionaries. Because you went on a mission trip. Because you witnessed to your neighbor. I bet there are folks in this room that if we ask for testimonies could talk about the time you witnessed to a young person. They accepted Christ. They went to Bible school. They became a pastor. They became a missionary. Became a musician in a musical group that spread the gospel. And you say, wow, yeah, they're there because I was here. And so make sure as we pray for God's direction in our life, just as the disciples way back then know that there are no limits. And you and I have been involved, I'm sure, in those churches or organizations when something is brought up. How about we do this? And we have, I was going to say Nancy Naysayer, but our Nancy's not a naysayer. We have Nancy Naysayer that says, oh, no, we shouldn't do that. Really? Oh, yes, we tried that. And, you know, those types of folks. And we have the folks that say, let's go. Let's see if the Lord would lead us and do that with us. Let's go on. Following the commandment, okay, let me read this. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud, and the word here is really enveloped him out of their sight. Whoa, that is just too cool, isn't it? I mean, they're watching him, and he's talking to them, and he's telling them those things, and he begins to go up. Thank you, Brian. I forgot to do that. I mean, nothing else was said. He just began to go. All right, put yourself there. Don't be dissing the disciples. Don't be saying, just put yourself there. We're all standing here. He's talking to us. We're getting ready to go back to Jerusalem. We've asked him questions, and then I believe it wasn't, I think it was slowly. I don't know. You know, but I think wow. Unlike the disciples, right? Are you? I mean, forever and ever. They were doing it so long, what had to happen? Two angels had to come and say, hey, guys, he's gone. He's going to come again. The same way You saw him going to heaven. He's coming back. He's coming back. I couldn't find a good picture of, well, that's the angels. Man, you never know about angel pictures. Ah, there we go. I couldn't find a good picture of Christ returning. You know, when he comes back for us and comes again in the clouds. And that's one, and we'll just have that up there. But I just thought it was very interesting how often clouds are used. You know, around the, I put them in the bulletin. He guided the Israelites. He hovered over the tabernacle, the transfiguration, and Christ going into heaven. And and the two angels appeared. I have that there. But you see, this is very pivotal for us to understand that what we have here, the ascension gives us the assurance of God's approval of Christ's life and work and the certainty of his second coming. If the disciples had gone to bed one night and in the morning got up and Jesus was gone, he left a note, you know, going to heaven, see you guys someday, whenever God decides. I don't know. I'm not a note person. I mean, I don't like the telephone. Some of you know that. I don't call you as much as I should. I don't like email. I like to talk face to face. That's my thing, you know. And so when Christ talked with them on the mount, giving them that understanding, but not only that, that thing to remember. That thing to remember. That vision in their minds of Christ going up. Never taken out of their mind throughout their ministry, I'm sure. Why? Because he left with a promise. And the promise is what? That he would come back. And the angels reassured them with that. The same Jesus that you've seen being taken up will come again in the same way, in like manner. So what? Well, now they have to decide whether or not they're going to trust what Christ said and obey. I think we have a song like that. We're going to sing that in just a little bit, not quite yet. I just want to leave you with the same three questions. It was so cool. I wrote a short little letter on Wednesday and sent it out. And I don't know how many people sent me a thing back and said, thank you for reminding me of those three questions. I want to use those with, one lady said, with my children. And the questions were very simple. Do you believe this, what we've read today? And if you do believe it, has it changed your life? And if it's changed your life, does everyone around you know? Same three questions we had last week. And I had that person said that I need to talk to my children. I have to ask them those questions. Another person wrote me a nice little email and said, thank you for those questions. I need to use those more as I'm witnessing to people. Why? Because I believe the time when Christ is coming back is close. Amen. And we need to make sure that we are the ones that are telling our friends and our neighbors. And I go to swim. You guys know that. I'm not going to get... But when I go to swim, I put myself on a timer thing because I don't want to spend all day there. And yesterday was Saturday. Maybe it was Friday. I'm not sure. Friday or Saturday, I walk in, and there's a man that I've been talking to, and he stops me. Oh, man. Lord, I don't want to talk to him right now. I don't... Lord said, talk to him 5, 10, 15 minutes. I don't, you know, and we're talking, you know, but I had the opportunity, you know, to share some things with him. I obeyed what God had told me to do. So this morning, as we prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper, I want you to really look closely and say, am I trusting God in every area of my life? There's some people, I've talked to a man one time, he said, well, I don't have to trust the Lord for finances. I'm set. Got a million-dollar house over here. We were down in Florida. I got a million-dollar something house here sitting on the water, and I got this 401 thing sitting here. I don't know what those are, but some people have them. 401 thing that's sitting over here, and you know what happened? A month later, everything crashed. He had to sell his million-dollar home for $300,000+. Lost most of the money he had in his 401. Still didn't accept Christ. Still didn't want to talk about Christ. All we can do is tell. But are we obeying? Are we telling? Are we doing? Are we storing up our treasure on earth? Or are we giving our treasure to where it should go, to the work of the kingdom? So examine your heart this morning before we take communion. See if there's anything there that we should say, Lord, you know, take this out of my life. If there's anybody here this morning that did not pick up a communion cup on the way in, we have an usher over here that has one. Just raise your hand and he'll give you, let you take one out of there. What we have is we have the juice on the top, and underneath we have the wafer. Ladies, would you come and lead us in that wonderful song, Trust and Obey, and then we will share the Lord's Supper. This morning we are obeying as we together will take of the cup and of the wafer. Jesus told his disciples, he said, when they were in that having the supper in the upper room, and he said to them, he said, I'm not going to be with you long. I want to teach you some things. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. They took the cup and he said, this is the New Testament of my blood. And he talked to them about the shedding of blood, for which the only way there is remission of sin, the atonement. They were there celebrating that wonderful thing called the Passover. This morning, I'm going to ask us just to take a quiet moment of meditation. And then I will pray and ask the Lord to bless as we take these two elements. But as you look into your heart, don't look into the heart of the person next to you. You can't see it. Look into your own. Say, Lord, today I give myself to you to trust and obey, to be open for your Spirit to work in me. Cleanse me from anything that would hinder me from being the follower of Jesus Christ. that I should be. Heavenly Father, as we take today of this wafer and of this cup as Jesus did, He blessed it. Lord, we just ask that this morning that this would be a time for all of us as we remember You, the body given for us on the cross, the blood shed for the remission of our sins, that we would be full of joy as we remember Jesus and what He's done for us. In His name we pray. Amen. If you take the wafer, you know, the first time after Jesus ascended, when they had gathered together, and probably, in my mind, Peter or John, it may have been somebody else, said, hey, remember what Jesus told us? How to remember Him? And he got a loaf of bread, as Jesus had, and he broke it. And he took a piece and he passed it around to all the others that were there. And I'm sure at this time there were more than 11. I think there were many followers that had gathered together and wherever they were for this. And as they begin to remember Jesus, I would think that the ascension into heaven popped into a lot of minds. And whoever was leading said, yeah, that happened. But what we're to remember is the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Remember what he said to us as we were around that table? He said, this is my body broken for you. Eat of it and remember me. So let's, as the disciples did, let's eat this together. Take the cup. Just for a moment, remember, as the disciples did, the awesome significance of the blood that was shed for us. No one else could shed their blood to forgive and cover our sins, to atone for us. There's no other name under heaven whereby men should be saved except that of Christ Jesus. If you happen to be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, can I invite you to come and see me afterwards so I can show you from the Word of God the plain, clear steps to Calvary so that you can share with us in the joy that we have of remembering Christ. Well, he took the cup, the disciple that was leading the service took the cup and probably a goblet or something like this and said, I know that they couldn't do it without tears streaming down their eyes, down their cheeks, out of their eyes. No way. As they're remembering not that long ago in the upper room when Christ himself took the goblet, blessed it, and said, this is my blood shed for you. And then they ran away. They ran away. Like I've done. Maybe some of you at times. Now they were together. They were obeying what God had asked them to do. So let us, in obedience, drink this cup, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. Stand with me as we have a benediction. There's a Harvester's Study class just around the corner here if you'd like to stay for that this morning. We're going to be dealing with the subject of unity. I'd like us to sing without the piano just one verse of Amazing Grace. Because it says they had the supper and then they sang a hymn and left. And wherever I start us is where we're going to sing. I'll try to get a nice place. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. So glad to have you that are visiting with us today. Please come back and join us another time. Meet here every Sunday at 9 o'clock. Lord, we'd ask now that your benediction be upon us, that you would comfort and guide us, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and comforter, and that the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins will be real in our hearts today. In his name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.